D-Mace, Finn, Gendonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, almost forgot our names here. Kind of important to know. Joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, it's NFL Combine season. Mike Borgonzi spoke yesterday. Brian Callahan spoke yesterday. I listened to interviews that Mike Borgonzi did not only at the podium, but he did an interview with Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. He did an interview with Mike Florio. And is it Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk? I don't remember which Sims it is.
Chris.
Yep.
The one thing I know about Chris Sims is he needs to unbutton that top button. It's a little too tight, man. It's very distracting. Anyway, I listened to multiple interviews Mike Borgonzi did yesterday. Said absolutely nothing of substance. But what was the most interesting thing you heard, didn't hear, or something you were reading in between the lines that you that came out of what the Titans talked about yesterday?
Well, I mean, look, it's line season, right? They clearly were talking up both quarterbacks. They're creating that buzz about they're hoping that these guys are fought over. They hope by the New York Giants. That's my opinion on that. Here's my takeaway. How many people in the media and just in general going around in the draft have the Titans pegged for a one position, or they're going to do this or that? And you have Borgonzi admitting that they haven't even talked to Cam Ward yet. They don't know him. And I mean, think about the timeline here of free agency and the Titans trying to decide, are they going rookie quarterback at number one overall, or are they going veteran quarterback in free agency? You've got to make up your mind pretty fast. And you've got 18 minutes in this cattle call that is the NFL Combine whenever you're doing these interviews. And how they're going about doing that is just, you know, having the coach sit down and go over certain plays. You're trying to figure out who these people are, not just as a player, but as, you know, just day-to-day guys. In the average walk of life. I mean, it's a stressful time right now for Borgonzi and company.
The news broke earlier this morning. I guess you could call it news. But as Willie said, there's a lot left unanswered that the Titans have granted Harold Landry permission to seek a trade. When you saw that cross your timeline, what was your first thought?
Well, it's going to fit what both sides I guess want in this if they can facilitate a trade. To me, this signals the Titans are looking for value for a trade. They want more picks. They want more draft capital. We've talked about this on the show. If you're just going through certain players and who brings value in the draft on your roster, I mean, Landry's there. Landry is great for Landry. He has zero guaranteed money left on his contract. So at age 28, he'll be 29 in June. Now's the time to get that potential final cash in. If you're just a player mindset, agent mindset, no guaranteed money left, go get it if you can get it. And the Titans would like to facilitate a trade and more or less buy a pick, because based on his salary and what the team would be acquiring, I wonder if maybe throw some guarantee on it if you're the new team acquiring him and the Titans pick up part of the chunk of whatever would be on the deal. Again, you're buying the pick if you're trading Landry, and it's going to be an overhaul of the, especially at edge rusher, it's an overhaul. And I'm viewing this through the lens of who else has the value, right? I think it's all about Landry today. Who else might be valuable for more draft capital? And from Landry's perspective, look at this. I mean, consider what he meant to their pass rush. Their pass rush isn't much, but he had, what, 9 sacks? The rest of the team, 23 in 17 games. The rest of the team had 23 sacks. Harold Landry had 9. You've got the pass rush that's already really – they need a ton of production to improve, and he's the guy you could rely on. So I do think there's value on the – on the horizon for him. The Titans, I don't know what they get in return for that, but again, it's more than just extending a player when you can go young on the defensive line. And keep this in mind too. 9 sacks, only 20 players last season had 9 or more sacks. So 39 players as edge rushers on the depth chart, they made at least $10 million last year. So as far as the guaranteed money goes and everything else, right now Landry has none of that. I know there's a cap hit involved in all this, but I think it's about acquiring draft picks. And for Landry, he should be all for this because he can get some guaranteed.
Yeah, the question was asked of me, Hutt, by both Willie and Adam. Well, how much do you think he's worth on the market? Well, Adam asked the question, and you know, you basically hit it. To me, he's a $10 to $12 million guy, based upon what he has accomplished thus far and what you think he will accomplish moving forward. So that would come at a bargain. $10-$12 million for a guy that's going to get you, and he may get you more sacks depending on how good the defense is as a whole.
You can count on him.
Yeah, you can count on him. He's going to play 16 to 17 games.
Yep.
He's going to give you, he's going to play 80, almost 90% of the plays, and he's going to give you consistent play. But looking at this, do you think by them allowing Harold Landry to seek a trade, do you think there's any indication on what they may do with the number one pick?
It's a great question, Mace. Look, my first reaction to that is they're looking to trade it. Mm-hmm. And they're going veteran quarterback. You go veteran quarterback in my grand scheme, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can trade a second round pick for Stafford. Let me just throw that out there. The Giants are also involved in this, but you want the Titans need the Giants to want Cam Ward. They need that. Because Cleveland's taking a quarterback. They need that rookie quarterback in Cleveland. You need the Giants to want to get ahead of Cleveland. Or you need Cleveland to want to guarantee who they're going to draft. And then you take a Carter if you're getting rid of Landry. You've got to go young there. And then you get your second-round pick back if you're going with Stafford or whoever. By trading out of one, you get the haul that you need to replace that pick and more, and you put more talent and depth around you and you acquire picks. That, in theory, is what I see because they need Carter, the elite player. If you're just talking about the type of player that you're supposed to get at number one overall, who knows what they think of Cam Ward? Again, I'll go back to that they don't know him that well right now. It seems like I know Carter's already met with them, but with Landry out, and again, 9 of the 9 sacks for him, 23 combined for the rest of the team, they have to address and overhaul the defensive front just like they've got to address offensive line. And to do that, Carter's a great way to start that, but you need the veteran quarterback in free agency or through a trade, and they've got that pick in the second round, just like the Giants do, though. The Giants are with them in the second round, right in front of them, I believe. So that's the intriguing part. Do the Giants want to go veteran quarterback, or do they want to go young?
Isn't it a sort of an indication of where this organization is when you give permission to your best pass rusher, permission to seek a trade? Why? Because you're trying to, one, dump a little bit of the salary, but also you're trying to get picks, in this year's draft or the next year's draft. But it's telling because, like you said, outside of Harold Landry, they don't have much of anything.
It's Simmons and Hooker.
Yeah, Simmons and Hooker. That's it. That tells you where this organization is and how long it may take them to get out of the hole that they've dug themselves in.
Which means they're doing the smart plan. They're and using the assets that they have to then draft. And again, this is the plan. To execute the plan, you need to draft well. And that's what the Kansas City Chiefs have done. They brought in great role players early on. Mm-hmm. To start the way they built that franchise to what it is right now through free agency. And this is a crucial time period coming up here for the Titans. Again, that's all well and good as long as you evaluate the players and you make the right choices. Otherwise, you continue to get stuck in quicksand, right? You're just kind of churning. I think if you're building for where you want to be, is Landry there by the time you get there, or is the player that you get in return? What do you guys think he is? A fourth or fifth round pick in return?
Round? That's what I'm weighing. Hutt is what is the trade? Because I'm guessing, and you tell me your theory on it. I'm guessing they had to have explored this last season during the trade deadline just to see if there was anybody that would give him anything. So
if it's a fourth round pick,
I get what you're saying. That could be a guy that is playing in your new stadium, and Landry's probably not playing for the next really good Titans team.
It could be a next year pick. Honestly, this year's draft is stocked with pass rushers. We could see six or seven drafted in the first round. Hmm. So are you going to pay Landry $10 million plus per year? And again, he's like one of the 20 some odd pass rushers that had 9 or more sacks in the league. 20 last season had 9 or more sacks. You're going to pay him in the top 20, or are you going to go young if you need pass rush? This is a great year for that on the edge. So it's not a great year to trade Harold Landry, which is why you want him to go ahead and seek the trade now instead of trying to trade him on draft weekend, because you're not going to have many calls.
So what would you take?
I don't know if it's a fourth round pick because of the youth in the draft and what you end up paying that player in the long term value.
Do you think that if they can't find a trade, that the Titans are willing to keep him at that number? Because you know something that affects the value of a trade is a team sitting there going, should we trade a pick or should we wait and see if they will cut him?
Well, I mean, I think this is where the Titans benefit. If they get if they get a deal that Landry likes, he can facilitate the trade, or Landry plays on the deal where there's no guaranteed money involved. So it's kind of like the Titans are saying, well, we have you under contract. You can go seek the trade. You can get your guaranteed money. We understand we're looking to build through the draft as well, and you're part of the value that we have in order to do that. I think that he could come back and just play.
But that gives you a little leverage if you're willing to do that.
I tend to lean towards their trading him, and again, I don't like it for 2025. But I understand what they're doing, given the fact that they've already stated a month and a half ago that they have a goal of, 30 picks and, 12 in the top 100 or whatever. I mean, that's how you do this. And you only have you can count on one hand how many players they can move during this draft in order to acquire that. They need picks this year.
Yeah, and you consider, too, what would the trade market potentially look like for him at the trade deadline during the season next year, right? That would have to be something you consider.
Sure. And, hey, it doesn't have to necessarily be picks. You could trade player for player. You know, you can get a right tackle. I mean, again, I'm just throwing out scenarios of what the value is for Landry versus another team may be wanting to unload. There's creative ways to do it if you're the agent. But it's all about getting Landry guaranteed money on a contract right now. That's, you know, it's great for him if he stays healthy. But you want to ensure yourself if you're Landry because of his age. He's going to be 29 in June. And this is where the Logan Ryan, for instance, loaded up for the final time at 29, right before he got to 30. He was on 3-year contracts. It's time for Landry to get out of what he's in and get more money now, as opposed to trying to kick the can down the road, which is what you would do if you're a younger player.
Hutt, we went through the list of potential free agent wide receivers, and we were like, D-Mace took them all through the strengths and weaknesses, and we're like, man,
there's no Derek Masons in this list, huh?
It was
fraught. Definitely not.
Let's just say it was fraught with risk. Okay. So all that being said, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I think we would all agree, they'd like to have him back. He knows where he fits here. He had a really nice year last year. So the question always ends up being, What are you willing to pay him? He's been a guy that is the bargain basement guy who overachieves, but now he might be in a position to make a little money here. So what are you going to pay him?
I mean, I let the market dictate that, Willie. I let him go test it. I mean, that's what happened last time. I don't see the clamoring for – there's not a player that the Titans have going into free agency that I would be personally worried about signing on the first day. So the stress level of getting your guy back, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a great value to the Titans, but I'm sure you saw some other Nick Westbrook-Ikhines in the list that Mace went through. And that's no knock on NWI. He was great for this Titans team this past year. He's a bright spot. And Callahan's already, he's already admitted, hey, one of my regrets is not getting him in the game more as we tried to figure things out early in the season. Callahan said, hey, I kind of waited too long. And he apologized to NWI after the season for that. There are ways to implement more packages for him. But, all he does is catch touchdowns. I would want him back. But how much are you going to be using him? That's the big – and who's your quarterback? That's the other part of it.
One basketball question for you, Hutt. You guys follow Tennessee. They're on a nice little run here. They've won 6 out of 7. They've got some really good wins during that mix. How important is it for them to strive for a 1 seed? Does it matter in your mind? And as you kind of size up them in the postseason, how would you compare this year's Tennessee team to last year's team, especially with the way they're playing right now?
I tend to lean towards would you agree, Willie, games are played in like the 60s and 70s in the tournament?
I definitely think Tennessee, that's how they want the games to be played, right?
Yeah. And
because they're not playing, presuming they're not playing Alabama, and that would be interesting. Alabama is the team that likes to play in the 80s, 90s.
Saturday, right? Tennessee and Alabama on Saturday.
And when Alabama's cold, they're done, right? Like, that's just how it is. Tennessee, I like the fact that they can D up because you can win in different ways. That's what you have to do that in the tournament. I like that for this Tennessee team. You would know better than I based on your bracketology, okay? The Tennessee 2 seed is a very beneficial bracket from what I understand. Like where they are based on the top 16 that was released a month ago or 3 weeks ago, they looked pretty good based on who they would be paired with. I like that. And this year, if you're a 1 seed, there's going to be an SEC team behind you with this 2. So I don't know. I think there's just a bunch of teams, and then there's Auburn, quite frankly. And Tennessee's one of them. They have as good of a shot to make a run in this tournament as they did last year. I view Tennessee last year as more full throttle, so to speak, even though they're on a run right now. And do you think they're peaking too soon? That's the other thing that comes to mind for me is you want to have this run going into the tournament, do you not? The SEC tournament.
I think the SEC tournament, I think that's going to be grueling for the team that wins it.
Right.
Can't wait.
That's going to be the challenge for whoever goes deep in that tournament is, do you expend a lot and do you still have enough to make run in the big tournament?
So is it beneficial for a team like Auburn who's all but insured a number one slot.
They will be the number one overall
exactly.
seed.
Yeah, is it beneficial for them to go through the gauntlet, which many believe is the SEC might just be as tough or tougher than the actual tournament.
Yeah, and whether it is or not, it's going to be a grind, right, if you're in it. It's a great question. One thing I would say about this Tennessee team, I still think they're down one shooter. I'm a big fan of their frontline guys. Like, Ziegler's really playing well right now.
Yeah. He's an alpha.
But I feel like that one complimentary shooter, the Mashaks, those guys, that they could be cold on a given night. That's the one weakness that I would be concerned about.
And I would say as well, Hutton, I'm looking at the official seeding from the NCAA from a week and a half ago. So in this seeding, they had Tennessee as a 2 in the same region as number 1 Duke, number 3 Arizona, and number 4 St. John's. They had Florida as the 4th number 1 seed. Florida's loss last night to Georgia opens the door for Tennessee to replace Florida on that one line, I think.
Interesting.
I mean, look, if I'm a Tennessee fan, I want to have the one seed. Let's go. But, I mean, where are you playing and all that stuff, too? Hey, can I pose one question to you?
Sure.
The committee, with all of the SEC teams in the bracket, how do you think they will pair the bracket when the bracket comes out? Do you think they try to avoid the second round conference matchup? Because there's going to be some of these. Or do you do it early so that you have more conference-to-conference matchups later in the bracket? They're not supposed to do that. They say they don't. They absolutely will. And I'm curious how they treat the conference, the SEC versus SEC, because they avoid that in round one. And they'll do that based on teams that go to Dayton.
Especially also when you figure in you're trying to spread out the Big Ten teams as well.
But yeah,
there's going to be a lot of those teams. But how do you separate them all? Yep.
Here's the problem. If they get 12 teams in, maybe 13, hell, it's going to be hard to try to divide them all. It's going to be hard.
And then on top of that, how many teams from the Big Ten will get in?
Exactly.
Probably at least 10, right?
You may see a second round matchup. I would like to see, a third, a Sweet 16 matchup. I think you would get more eyes on the game.
Like, could you mathematically
get away from seeing
without a Big Ten,
a 32
playing a Big Ten or an SEC playing an SEC in the second round?
I mean,
if there are that many teams in your field,
I don't think the only way you get out of it is if it's
upsets in round one.
Yeah, if it's an upset, that's the only way you get out of it.
But so I if I'm just thinking right now on real time. Most of the time, those conference matchups would happen Elite Eight on, right? They do a good job of potting it, by and large. They don't do this for round one, but I think by round two, we could see a rematch from the SEC tournament the week prior. I mean, I'm intrigued how the committee does it because again, they say they don't do that. They absolutely do, and I'm curious how they treat it because. We've seen this before. The bracket, by and large, is done by the time the championship game is even tipping off on SEC championship day. So maybe it's not this year, which is more intriguing.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You as well. 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt plays tonight. Let's keep this college basketball conversation going. You can tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the Commodores take on Texas A&M with a 6 o'clock tip-off and the pregame show starting at 5:30. Vanderbilt men's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium now through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets.